We wear our work, day by day, stitch by stitch. At Dickies, we believe work is what we're made of. So, whether you're gearing up for a new project or looking to add some tried and true workwear to your collection, remember that Dickies has been standing the test of time for a reason. Their workwear isn't just about looking good. It's about performing under pressure and lasting through the toughest jobs. Head over to Dickies.com and use the promo code WORKWEAR20 at checkout to save 20% on your purchase. It's the perfect time to experience the quality and reliability that has made Dickies a trusted name for over a century.
Broadcasting from Century Studios in downtown Regina, Harvard Media presents the all-new Sports Cage, where Saskatchewan comes to talk local sports. Brought to you by Nelson Homes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. Be a part of the show. Call 1-866-767-0620 or text 306-936-6262. The all-new Sports Cage. Streaming at sportscage.com and on the radio at 620 CKRM.
Let's go, Saskatchewan. We're going into the weekend. It's the all-new Sports Cage. We're here for the next 2.5 hours. Barney Shinkerick, Derek Bidwell, Colson Curtis on the production side. We got it all wrapped up for you. Busy show, no doubt about it. Hockey, we got football of all varieties and a whole lot more. Right off the hop, we're going to be joined. If you caught the news on sportscage.com, it is a big one in the hockey world. Regina Pats forward Braxton Whitehead, he has committed to Arizona State, and he's challenging the NCAA rule. We're going to be joined by Greg Wyshynski, senior writer from ESPN, in moments. We are going to talk about the Regina Pats playing in the Brandon Wheat Kings this evening as they get set to wrap up their preseason in the next couple days here. U of R Rams, big game against UBC this weekend, right here at home. The 2-0 Regina Rams. Tarek Pelias from the Rams is going to join us in hour two. Bidzy and I are going to go through the NFL docket for this week and also talk about the unfortunate news for you Miami Dolphin fans and Tua Tagovailoa. CFL this weekend, only 3 games. We'll get into that. Stephen Smith from the Regina Thunder. He's going to join us. Thunder in action this weekend at home. And then to finish it off in hour three, the abbreviated hour three, Bidzy, we got a great conversation coming up with Matt Dominguez, former rider Matt Dominguez. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bidzy, we're back at it here today. It's interesting. It's kind of got that feel around Regina anyway today, that cooler weather, that hockey weather. And kind of the bombshell this morning that everyone woke up to, if you know the hockey and how major junior and NCAA and everything works, kind of big news.
Yeah, indeed. And it does feel like that that fall weather, if you will. Yeah, it is here too. The leaves haven't started falling yet, as you know, but man, it is feeling like it is that time of year when it's right around the corner and hockey season is upon us. So yeah, big news there. It's really going to change, I would think, how young players decide where they're going to play. I mean, it's going to be big news with the SJHL and the WHL.
Yeah, we're going to get to some SJHL preseason too. We'll tee that up. But let's go out on the Western Pizza Guest Hotline. It's Friday. Why cook? Perfect night for all that generous goodness that Western Pizza does, whether it's the Greek food or the pizza. We are joined by Greg Wyshynski, senior writer from ESPN, that had it this morning. Everybody in the hockey world woke up to it. Greg, thanks so much for taking some time. It involves the Regina Pats and a player, so it's only fitting you're on a Regina sports show, right?
Exactly, yeah. No, this was an interesting one. I broke it this morning. Braxton Whitehead, he's a forward for the Pats, has a verbal commitment for the 2025-26 season from Arizona State University. It's a D1 program here in the States. And why that's very interesting is because the NCAA has eligibility rules that prevent any player who has appeared in a major junior hockey game from playing college hockey. And Whitehead's played, 4 years of it. So, as of right now, he wouldn't be able to play the 2025-26 season. But the wrinkle here is that, one, there's been a lot of forward momentum in the NCAA to try to get that restriction lifted. It's a bit archaic. It's a relic from the 1980s. And two, the NCAA was hit with a proposed class action suit this summer that sought to overturn the rule based on antitrust violation. So, you know, he's doing it at the right time. ASU is doing it at the right time. He's the first to try it. And I think it won't be the last based on what we're hearing.
Okay, so with the lawsuit and everything, if we're playing an odds game, I'm a big odds guy. I love gambling. What are the chances that this is going to go through and he's actually going to play NCAA hockey, do you think?
I would put it at like 60%, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know if I'd go any higher than that because you still have some coaches and some people in the NCAA that don't necessarily want to lift this restriction. But, you know, I was talking to some sources last night when I was reporting this out, and they were telling me that college programs are budgeting for their scouts to spend more time with CHL teams. It's clear that, this is the first of what could be more than a few of these types of commitments with an eye towards the restriction being lifted. But to pull it back, I mean, like I said, the reason I'm at 60% is that you do have some NCAA coaches who don't want to see the pressure point of a young player having to decide between Canadian junior and the NCAA taken off the table. So, like, for example, somebody mentioned Macklin Celebrini to me the other day. Mm-hmm. You know, he had to decide as a young player whether he wanted to play in college and attend college and play in college for Boston University or to take another route. And the other route would have prevented him from ever playing for a college team. Without that, you know, pressure point, without that decision having to be made, there's some fear in the NCAA that while the faucet will be open to get a whole new level of talent from Canadian junior coming in, those high-end guys, those star players, the ones that get you to tune in to watch the Frozen Four, might not be in the NCAA if they don't have that pressure point.
Yeah, and we have the SJHL here, the MJ's close, even the North American League. Right? We see that those kids that are playing junior A hockey, and then the route is to NCAA, so it is a little bit of a shift if it happens. Now, why, if you can give us maybe a look behind the curtain, and like you said, you know, you broke this story, why Braxton Whitehead? Like, he's from Alaska. Does he have, you know, a legal family member that knows that this can be pushed through? Is there a connection to ASU? Why him?
Well, first of all, he's always had a thing for college hockey growing up in Alaska.
Yeah.
Because he grew up, with a couple of college programs there. The way he explains it, and again, there might be something behind the scenes that we're all not privy to as far as how this whole thing got rolling. But the way he explains it is that once he saw the lawsuit happen, which was, it was filed in August, and it became kind of pretty big news at that point, that really was sort of the spark for him. And so he started to kind of like take a little bit of agency and send out some letters to Division I programs, seeing if maybe there was anybody who'd be interested in attempting this. Arizona State University is the correct college to send this kind of request to. Not only was it one that he was hoping to attend, if you've ever been to ASU, you probably know why. It's beautiful there. And, of course, they do have an arena that, I mean, my goodness, housed an NHL team for a few years in Mellett Arena. But they are also kind of a maverick program. I mean, they're the only D1 men's hockey program in the Western United States. Their coach, Greg Powers, is notorious for being kind of a forward-thinking guy. So I think ASU liked the idea of trying to push the envelope here and do something a little bit out of the ordinary. And obviously Whitehead was desirous to try to commit to an NCAA program with this being his last season in the WHL.
Hey, Greg, what do you think the biggest pushbacks will be? Where will they come from? Will they come from other leagues that are worried that this could affect players coming to their league now, that they are now going to be able to choose the NCAA, or they could bounce back and forth possibly, maybe kick the tires in the CHL and then decide if it's not worth it for them or if they would rather then bounce to the NCAA?
Yeah, there's some concerns on both sides. I was talking to the commissioner of the WHL last night for the story, and I was like, well, you know, what are the risks here for you know, Canadian junior hockey? And obviously the risks are that some of the talent that you have in those programs for multiple years might then have the opportunity to jump to the NCAA at some point, which obviously isn't an option on the table for them now. So, you know, there is a fear maybe that the overall talent pool could be a little bit diluted in Canadian junior. And then, like you said, for the NCAA, you know, their concern is about those high-end talents. And, you know, it does offer up a chance for some schools to, you know, the rich to get really rich. It is also a situation where some of these players we're talking about are going to be, you know, 22, 23 years old playing college hockey against, you know, 18-year-olds and that kind of thing, too. So it's there's a lot of concerns on the table on both sides. But again, when you really break it down, the rule exists to try to keep quote unquote pro players from playing amateur hockey. Like, mm-hmm. That's why the rule exists. And it kind of falls apart when you start to, you know, one of the things that I think both ASU and Braxton Whitehead mentioned was the name, image, and likeness rules that have now allowed players to get paid. I mean, that wasn't in place when this rule was implemented. You have Olympic swimmers and other Olympic athletes making money hand over fist and then going back and competing for colleges.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the Boston College of Ball, I think it was Boston University, had a player that played two games professionally in Sweden on their men's team. So, I mean, it's the walls are crumbling when it comes to this separation between amateur status and pro status, and I think that there's a lot of recognition that maybe the rule should change because of that.
Yes. Do you think that this, we could see a snowball effect pretty quick here? And then second part to that, do you think a lot of the traditional schools, the traditional NCAA hockey powers are maybe going to stay away from it for a while? You know, like the Boston, you mentioned Boston College, BU, all the traditionals and ASU being a bit of a trailblazer here. Do you think it's going to snowball?
I think it will. I mean, you know, like I said, you have schools that are already budgeting to have more scouting up in Canada of players. You know, I think that when you have one or two schools looking at this situation and saying that the rules could potentially change within the next 2 years, you're going to have schools that, and programs that clearly don't want to be on the outside looking in if that does happen. And, you know, I don't know where the traditional powers are. I mean, I think that when it comes to the pipeline of talent, they're obviously going to want to be in that mix. They're obviously want to improve their teams as much as they can and not be at any kind of competitive disadvantage. But, you know, the interesting balance here, like we've been talking about, is you're almost, you know, betting on a future. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like this thing is not set in stone. It's not concrete. They've talked about it already this year at the NCAA level, and the coaches decided not to take any action on it. So, now, granted, the class action suit does kind of reshape the landscape a little bit. I think it kind of spooked them a little bit. And I do think that some of the coaches in the NCAA believe that there is a vulnerability there for the NCAA and the programs that were mentioned in that class action suit because of the fact that it probably does violate antitrust laws. But until this restriction is lifted, I don't think anybody is really clear on, you know, what the short-term future is for the CHL NCAA setup.
Okay, last one for me. So, do you think there is a legit fear from the CHL and these clubs that their league will become watered down? You touched on it a little bit there, that these guys may choose to go that route, to go to the NCAA route. Or do you see what might be a little more popular is that maybe some younger players will play in the CHL until they're 16, 17, maybe 18. If they aren't going to make the jump to the NHL or they aren't going to get that draft selection, then maybe they will enter the university league a little bit earlier and go the NCAA route. How do you see this? If it goes through, that's how it'll play out?
Yeah, I think that second option is what they're looking at. You know, the WHL, for example, was sort of celebrating the idea of Braxton Whitehead having played out his career with the Pats and then, you know, goes on to play NCAA hockey, having not been drafted by an NHL team. And I think for the most part, that's kind of the scenario they see. You know, the opportunity the chance to play in Canada, to have the junior hockey experience, I think is something that they feel like a lot of players aren't wanting to have to give up. And in this case, you know, they can have their cake and eat it too. You know, they could play Canadian junior for a few seasons and then make the leap to the NCAA if that's kind of what they want to do, both from an education standpoint and then obviously from a hockey standpoint, if they think it's going to better their chances to attract, you know, an NHL team, for example. So I think it's that option B that you mentioned is what the at least some of these leagues are looking at versus being scared that all of a sudden their product is going to become too watered down.
Well, Greg, fascinating story. Good job breaking that this morning. Obviously, a lot of ties to Saskatchewan where we are here. Now, I got a quick little trivia question. Do you know one of the last players to play both CHL and NCAA back in 1979-80?
Well, I was two, so I do not know who was it.
It's general manager of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, Kelly McCrimmon, from right here in Saskatchewan. Yeah, so there's you can put that one in there. You can ask McCrimmon if you ever interview him about it.
Well, you know, of all the people I could think of that might be able to have worked the system to do that, Kelly McCrimmon would definitely be at the top of my list as guys that could figure out a way to work the system.
Brandon Weed Kings and Michigan Wolverines. All right, Greg, thanks so much. I know you're a busy guy. Great story, and hopefully we get to catch up with you again.
Much appreciated. Thanks.
Right on. From ESPN senior writer Greg Wyshynski. Yeah, Bidzy, it's a wild, and if people don't, you know, they're not maybe hockey centric and hockey isn't a big deal in their lives, they're going to be like, don't know what we're talking about here.
Yeah, but what's the big deal with this? Hockey parents, it'll be a hot button topic for sure.
Hockey,
and young players.
Hockey parents, major junior programs, junior A, the SJHL programs, AJ, MJ, all this stuff. It is, it's going to be big. And I think, you know, when you asked your question, if someone was asking me how I think this is going to shake out, like you said, he figures about a 60% chance that that Braxton plays NCAA in, I guess, a year from now or a little over a year from now. I think there's going to be a lot of pushback for the reasons he said. And then if it does happen, you know, when the question that you asked, I think it is, we're going to see a lot of kids playing that major junior 17, 18, 19, and then going. It's almost, you know, having your cake and eating it too, which I think is one of the stupidest terms ever. But that's the reason a lot of kids don't play CHL, because they have their mind set on Scholastics or playing Division I college hockey, which is amazing. If you've ever gone to a game, and it's a weekend game and you're flying to your games and you got high school or you got college bands and all that, like, it is a spectacle and a lot of kids want to play that. Whereas the major junior, there's a massive draw there as well. So if you can do both, I don't know. I think if it happens in our time and we go back to that, because like I said, Kelly McCrimmon, when we had him on the Monday Nooner podcast, we talked to him about that. He was one of the last players that before they implemented that rule where Greg talked about was in the 80s. And he said it's a little bit archaic, but it's always been in place. And then he mentioned the kid from Sweden. And that was one that really, you know, ruffled some feathers down there. And it's like, well, technically he's played in Sweden. It's, you know, been playing pro hockey. And then the name, image, likeness now out there, like, I don't know how the, I guess, case could be defeated, because it's like, okay, well, the kid down the hall that plays football just made $3 million, and you're going to tell me this kid can't play hockey because he made $250 a month as a allowance, or call it what you want,
stipend.
Yeah,
no, there's a whole bunch of implications, as you said. Another one would be university hockey programs, right?
Yeah.
Because, well, first of all, I think I want to get, you're a theme tee guy. I know not everybody can see us right now. If they're not streaming, they're on the radio, but you got a Cash Willie Nelson one going right now, too. I'm going to get you one that says, have your cake and eat it, too. I think that'll be something coming for you down the road.
It's right after the Dave Thomas one. Don't be bitter, be better. I'm getting that
be
one.
Be better.
But that story.
My last.
Yeah, go ahead.
Point on this. So I was just going to say, is this that having your cake and eating it too? I think if I was a young hockey player, I would want to do that. So I would want to play, for example. I'm in Saskatoon, so the Blades, if you're in Regina, the Queen City, the Pats, I would love to play for my hometown team for a couple of years when I'm younger, while I'm still in high school. If I don't get the call to the NHL, I'd love to then, one, when I am university age or college age, graduated high school, then I'd like to go down to the universities and play there too. So have both.
The one that I wish I would have asked Greg this now, because he's so tied into the hockey community. If this does play out the way people are thinking, or the way that it could, the one thing, and if people are out there listening right now that are tied into hockey, and I know there's a bunch of people I know listening, what will really be interesting is the Ivy League schools, which you have to keep, A, to get into them, you have to, your GPA and your SAT has got to be at a level, and then you have to maintain that. So how many major junior, because, hey, let's be honest, when you go play major junior hockey, there are a lot of smart kids. There's a lot of, you know, education is a big thing. And then on the other side, it isn't. They're on the bus so much. They're traveling so much. It's a different life. And then a lot of them do go to the, you know, the U of S's and all that after. And then that's when they came. Now schooling, now I'm taking this a little bit serious. And sure, people are, they don't get all offended that WHL, no, but it's just a lot of traveling. You're playing a ton of games. Anybody I know that played in the Western Hockey League, like schooling is, it's hard. It's a grind. Mm-hmm. And I know the Pats now have a great job. I think they do it all at the Brandt Center. You know, back in the day, like your buddies with Rhett Warner and the guys in Saskatoon, they'd have to, you know, okay,
they weren't getting any offers to the Ivy League schools.
Yeah, no, they were like, they're going to Marion Graham, and, you know, for however many hours a day, and then they're getting in their vehicles and they're driving to Sask Place and practicing, and it's a grind. So, yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. Again, the story is up on sportscage.com if you want to check it out. We'll take a quick break. If you're watching us on the streams from sportscage.com or on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.